This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
We're back with hour number two of the program, 412-928-9370. Nicholas Callis is here, adjusting my headphones so that I could hear him. All kinds of little things, subtleties that go on in this business. But thank you for being here. We certainly do appreciate it. This is the Bob Pompeiani Show. We are brought to you by PNC Bank. Make today the day. Also, number one, Cochrane. Shop 24-7 with Expressway at Cochrane.com. Iron Rock Tap House Greensburg. Come see what everyone's talking about. How about Ireland Contracting, home of the nightly sports call, and Shendorovich, Shendorovich, and Fishman? We're taking calls here concerning, you know, what the Pirates are going to do at this draft with the number one pick, and also what the Penguins may be doing in free agency, trying to keep ahead of that right now. So far, it looks like Cam Talbot's on his way to Los Angeles. That's about the only thing I see. Unrestricted free agency is available and open. Rob Rossi says he confirms reports of Brian Dumoulin will look to free agency. I would imagine all of these guys, Jason Zucker, after the kind of year he had, why wouldn't you do that? You want to see, it's going to be probably the last last opportunity to put your name on a contract that's going to be big money. And I don't know if the Penguins can now afford that. Bring in Riley Smith at $5 million. They still have Marcus Granlund to worry about. Or Mikael Granlund, I'm sorry. And he's another guy at $5 million. And I don't know, you're going to have to trade to get rid of him. Kyle Dubas was true to his word. He did not buy him out. And if you're not going to buy him out, then you still have him on the roster and you got to figure out something to do. So we're getting into that as well. I got some Steeler tweets as well, which I want to get into just for food for thought. We'll do that. But right now, a lot of people have been waiting on the line. So let's get right that back and make that roll. We got Mark in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. What's up, Mark? Go ahead.
We always talk about money spent, Bob, but in baseball, it's not about how much money is spent, because if that was the case, the New York Mets and the San Diego Padres would be going to the World Series this year.
Boy, the Mets are a mess, aren't they?
Yes, they sure are.
And so are the Padres. We just watch them. All those guys who are hitters aren't hitting.
I think it boils down to, in baseball, the general manager is by far the most important person. Look at the Twins. Look at the Tampa Rays. And I remember when Ben Cherington got hired, you did a very good interview with him at PNC Park. It's still on YouTube. You asked him a very poignant question at the time, which was, do you think the Pirates have the resources to compete? So if it comes down to where Dylan Cruz is a more expensive player, we'll find out if they really have the resources. But I really applaud Ben, because if you look back at the Henry Davis draft, he also got a pitcher named Anthony Solomento, who's doing tremendous now at Double-A in Altoona. He saved some money by taking Davis and being able to get Solomento in the same draft, and also Bubba Chandler. So he thought out of the box. And I think you also can compare it to, like, Cincinnati, Nick Kroll, some of the trades he made to enhance that team. They signed De La Cruz for $60,000 as a 16-year-old.
That was an international, right, international. I wish the Pirates would do more of that, actually.
So I think it all boils down to, but some experts this year, I think that Wyatt Langford, the kid out of Florida, might actually be a better fit for the Pirates, because they've looked at his spray charts and he's a more of a, what would be called, a north side notch hitter type hitter. So it'll be an interesting draft. I'm really looking forward to it. And I think this is why they pay Ben the big bucks.
Yeah, I think you're right about it. Wyatt Langford's a guy that most people, if they hear that name, they're going to be upset because they haven't heard any other names other than Dylan Cruz and Paul Skenes. But if you watched Florida in action, that dude's got a bat, and he's a heavy hitter. And he can be somebody who can make a difference that way. And if that means that they save a little to put later in the draft. But my only problem with that is it works on when you don't have a generational type players. And I think you have two of them ahead of Langford to me. And I would hate to pass on one of them and find out they turn into some superstar that you could have had.
Last thing real quick, the best catcher in the Pirate system is not Davis or Edny Rodriguez. He's right in Altoona, and that's Abraham Gutierrez. Scouts rate him with the top five defensive catchers in baseball. Unfortunately, his bat has not come along as well as they hoped, but they rate him as by far having one of the best tools of all the catchers in minor league baseball. So he might be a sleeper guy to watch.
Well, he better hit, though. I mean, you got to hit at some point up here, don't you? Is it strictly defense
only? Well, Hedges is hitting 186, right? I mean, he's playing every day.
I know. That's what I mean. That's why Davis should be catching. I just want to see it. I want to see for myself whether or not he can handle it. Thanks for the call, man. Appreciate that. In Fort Lauderdale. We're going to Southern California now as we cross the country. We got Randy joining us here on the Bob Pompiani Show. What's up, Randy?
Bob, how the heck you doing, buddy?
What's going on out there in SoCal?
It's supposed to be 117 here today, Bob, so we're going to stay indoors. Hey, first of all, I had the honor of getting through and talking to Stan and Charlie last football season, and I'm so glad now that I did. So I wanted to say that it is equally an honor to finally get a chance to talk with you, my friend.
Well, thank you. Charlie and Stan did a good post-game show. A lot of them were on late, and people would tune in from all over the place to call, which was great to see. But, yeah,
yes,
appreciate
which it. That always works out great out here because we're 3 hours behind.
Exactly.
So, hey, I want to bring up something that nobody's talking about, and I'm not sure why. We really don't have any first baseman in the system worth a damn. I would put Davis at first.
They put Rodriguez at first there. Down there. If that's part of their thinking, then I don't know. They have Malcolm Nunez, who's a guy who has a big bat, reportedly. Now, whether or not that translates in the Major League level, I don't know. But you're right. Over the years, the Pirates have whiffed on first baseman. They haven't come up with any.
They really don't. I mean, I would get Davis out of the outfield, and if you're not going to put him behind the plate, between him and Endy, I think that's your catcher and your first baseman going forward. Now, which way they do that, I don't care. I've followed them in the minors. Both of them have gotten some time at first down there. So they're kind of thinking it, but ultimately I think you're going to have to pull a Joe Mauer, and once you take him out of the catching position, I think Davis is going to end up being your first baseman. That's what I would do with him.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Randy. Appreciate that. Hopefully you stay indoors and don't get too much of that 117-degree heat. Ryan joins us right now in New Jersey. What's up, Ryan? How are you?
Bob, happy 4th of July weekend. I also, since I'm a history fan more than a sports fan, I wanted to point out that this is also the anniversary of the Battle of Gettysburg, July 1st to 3rd.
Tom McMillan would know all about that. You're right.
Yeah, two of the most important events in our history were, and that was where our best leader managed to keep the thing together. So it's an important weekend for more than just 1776. The other thing I wanted to comment, actually, Tim Benz made a great comment when Stan died, that you guys took down the curtains the next day and you went on with DVE, and then you guys had Junker on your show. Mm-hmm. That's when I try to explain to Philadelphia and New York fans in vain what makes Pittsburgh a different sports market. It's kind of that. They would never do something like that where you guys shared all your memories together, even though you're competitors in the market.
So yeah, it's a tight-knit community, Ryan. I can tell you that.
Correct. And that's why people are tied to the Steelers, because that's what people used to do. They were Steelers and they watched the football team. So that's kind of how it was. But as far as Dubas goes, I think he's trying to thread the needle here without doing buyouts, which I see why. I mean, if you keep Granlund now, maybe you can dump him mid-year and get somebody to eat half the salary, something like that. I sort of see why he doesn't want to commit to the long-term salary cap ramifications. So I'm not so sure he's not just letting the three play out the string here and sell tickets, and then his eyes to the future. That's a possibility. That's not what we want, but that's a possibility. But I'm willing to give him a chance and see what he does. But the comment I had, and Cook says this all the time, Mike Sullivan should have no voice in the goalie. None. All the goalie problems with Jari and Murray before that go right back to Mike Sullivan's feet. So why should the coach really get a say in the goaltending at this point? I get it, he's got to coach the team, but that is not his purview to pick the goalies. So if Dubas doesn't want Jari, which they should let him go, He's just not reliable enough. He's not worth the kind of money he's going to probably command. Get a Corpus Allo or something like that. Honestly, they need a backup too, because DeSmith is not an.
I agree. I think they need two of them.
Ryan, I agree with that.
But I don't. Let me ask you this: if Tristan Jarry found that there's no taker out there, nobody wants to pay what he wants, would you take him back on a 2-year, $10 million, 2-year, $8.5 million?
$5 million is a lot in where they are with the cap. I would probably do it, but you got to move to Smith. I know he makes nothing in problem, but you got to get somebody else. But you're going to take up more cap. Then you're going to end up with, you need a veteran backup. So you're going to end up with $8 million on the cap for goalies. Right now, you've got what, like 5 with the two. But it's not producing results. You're not healthy in April. You got to have a goalie.
Health is a big part of it. Thanks for the call, Ryan. Appreciate that. We'll see what they do. But as far as Sullivan, I think he should have a say in just about everything that goes on there. He's been around here. He knows those guys. I think his trust in Jarry comes from watching him a couple of years where he was named All-Star, and he had really good regular seasons. Now, certainly the postseason has not been good at all, and that game at the end of the year against Chicago was not good at all when they needed him to be the best that he could be. Hawk has been waiting almost 30 minutes. Man, I appreciate you doing that, Hawk. Thank you very much. How are you?
Hey, no problem, Bob. You are the king of all Pittsburgh sports media, and it's always a pleasure to talk to you.
You're very kind.
Not at all. I'm just stating facts, my friend. Hey, with regard to the Pirates, really quick, the City Connect uniforms, definite thumbs up. With the exception of the helmets, I'm not a big fan of the two-toned kind of Jacksonville Jaguar gradient color scheme on that. But hey, I think it's a cool look aside from that. As far as the draft goes, I don't know. I'm taking schemes and I'm not looking back. I just can't pass on that guy. But I do want to talk quickly about the Penguins. Now, this might be a crazy fan theory here, but Pittsburgh, as you know, has always been, as a hockey town, it's always needed a superstar, right? Like, we've had one. We've had arguably the best player in the league from all the way back to 1984, from Lemieux to Yager to Crosby, Malkin, so be it. Any chance next year with Austin Matthews potentially hitting free agency and with a relationship with him and Dubas, any chance you think the Penguins try to clear a ton of cap space this year and go after that guy next year as an unrestricted free agent?
Well, that sounds ambitious to me. As well as I love that guy's release, his ability to score, because it's almost in the same level as Ovechkin, maybe younger, better at this point. We'll see. But, that would take an awful lot of juggling. It also would mean you're going to have to break up what you have. Those guys have no movement clauses. There are a lot of them on that team that make it very difficult to make a deal like that so that you clear enough space. What would it take? If McDavid's making $12 million a year, whatever, how much money would it take for him to be here? And on how long do you have to give him? So, maybe at the end of but if he's a free agent next year, I don't know how they can do it and clear enough space to do it.
Probably take 15 per year to get him, I would think. And that is a lot of money. But again, Pittsburgh loves its hockey superstars. And if that Fenway Sports Group wants to make money, they've got to have someone that's going to put fans in the seats.
It was one of the reasons why they brought everybody back, and Malkin and Letang, because they realized the value of that in a league that doesn't have all that much television revenue at its disposal. Hawk, thanks for the call, man. You make good points. I appreciate talking to you. Have a nice weekend at 412-928-9370. A couple tweets I want to get to here. You can hit me up at KD Pomp. This gentleman wants to know, his name is Dan. He wants to know what happens with the rotation of quarterbacks in preseason, since you and Charlie are going to be doing these games. That's an interesting question, I think, because Kenny Pickett, even though he is the starter, even though you don't want him to get hurt, he does need time, and there are only 3 games, and you want, with a new offensive line, with some new receivers, you want a little cohesion going on there. So I would think that's one of the interesting things Mike Tomlin's going to have to do. I would imagine he plays a little in the first game, a lot in the second game. When I say a lot, into the third quarter, and then hardly any in the last game, although he will get a couple of reps there. You don't want injury, certainly, but you can't be afraid of injury in an effort to get things going. Sometimes I think if they've had slow starts, it's a result of not necessarily doing that enough. And I'm not advocating playing every single down, of course. I'm just saying you need some, with new players involved, some kind of in-game cohesion as you go into the first game of the year, which is not an easy one against San Francisco. I'll have more of those coming up. Right now, let's go out to Nick, who joins us in Sacramento. Is it going to be 117 in Sacramento, Nick?
Bob, I don't know what that guy was telling you, 117. It's going to be 108, but unless he's living in Death Valley, I'll give him 117.
So where you are, it's going to be 108, really?
Yeah, Sacramento gets 108 today. That's a true story. We've been very good all year. We've been in the low 80s till yesterday. Hey, Bob, I just want to correlate with you. Nick, my name's Nick, and I met you years ago through my uncle. Do you remember my voice? Do you know who I am? You worked with my uncle for many years, last name Foley. Anyway, I just wanted to remember John Foley, right? Yeah, so I just wanted to tell you, all the time I talk to you, I just have to tell you that because I grew up in Irwin, and I love the fact that hearing you every day, and I listen to the show every day on the way to work, and being 53 years old now myself, you bring such a great perspective, and I appreciate all your hard work, you know, with all the people that have been through Pittsburgh and the sports, you know, all the ones that have gone and passed and the ones that are there. I'm glad to have you. So I just want to get that out of the way, Bob.
I think those of us who do this really appreciate when that happens. And if we see you out and about and get to know you, it's even better.
Right. So I just want to hit upon the Buccos. I was in my pool yesterday floating around, and I have a TV in the back, and I come home from work. That's my relaxation. And, you know, 2 years ago, even a year ago, I would turn the game off at 7-8 down 7-3. Now I never turn the TV off this year since this year started, even though we had the 10-game losing streak and all that stuff. But to see this team, the resilience and the youth, I think we're going to start having such a – I don't want to say it's a good problem. We're going to have all this youth and these players. We're going to have to make some really big decisions here, like in the next – well, this year, next year, and years beyond, because we're going to have an influx of people – or, excuse me, players. And if do you know where I'm going with this?
I would caution, though, Nick, if you've watched enough baseball, like I'm sure you have, you know that not everyone is going to be what you see. And some of these performances are not going to be what you expect them to be, like Ronzi Contreras. You know, I had higher hopes for him this year after what I saw last year. Now, he's hit a little bit of a rut here. We don't know what how he gets out of it and what he turns into. But that's a guy I had earmarked as a regular in the starting rotation. You also don't know what Mitch Keller's going to be like in terms of will he sign a contract or not. And,
right.
You know, I mean, it depends. He's 9-3 now. He's going to be an all-star. His value keeps going higher the longer they wait and the more he does what he does. If he prices himself out or out of their range, now all of a sudden you got an opening there too. So he can never have enough, I think.
Right. Well let me ask you one more thing. The pipeline, this MLB pipeline, I'm sure you do, I'm sure you look at it too when the draft comes up. In this area I live in, when you said Sacramento, it triggered something. There's seven guys right now within my son's 22. My son's, he's not a player anymore, but this team's out here in Elk Grove, California. They have seven players in this immediate area where I live. They're in the big leagues under the age of 24. Like the Dylan Carlson, the Nick Madrigals. I'm not saying they're star players, the Rowdy Telezes. And I mention all these names to you because it's amazing, and there's even more coming up this year. Like the top 15, 10 players, there's like two coming from this area. And they bring these players up, like these other organizations, like the Cardinals, and now we're starting to do it. I know the Pirates have their reasoning, but do you think with this new, obviously we're seeing it now, this new general manager coming in and a new system through, it's great to see him bringing the players up. Like you said, we use caution on that. But why do some teams like the Cardinals and the other teams and the Cubs, I mean, why do they bring these players up so quickly? And obviously we don't. It's obviously a payroll thing. It's a money thing.
Yeah, I think all of them go with that. And Nick, thanks very much for the call. Appreciate your kind words and thanks for listening and calling too. So the Super 2 thing is real. All teams do it, it seems. But I'm glad to see that Gonzalez is up here. Davis is up here. They trusted Triolo to be up here. They have some young pitchers like Oviedo and Luis Ortiz, who they trust. They're going to keep trotting. Even a guy like Beto, he's somebody that worked through the system. When Josh Palacios was hitting the ball well, they gave him a chance to come up here. He may be one of the guys who goes down, by the way, when they activate Reynolds. Who knows? But, yeah, I'm encouraged, but I also, you want to see more. They're going to have a better record than they did last year. That's a step forward. Now, the question is how many of these guys can become core pieces moving into 2024. And if that happens, then they're going to be a contender. I don't think there's any question that they could be based on potential. 412-928-9370. Frank and Chippewa, before we go to break, I want to get you on because you've been patient too, Frank. Thank you. What's up?
Hey, Bob. Hey, I had a quick thing on the Pirates draft. I wanted to run it by you. I don't know if the Pirates do this or not, but I would try to talk to Dylan Cruz. I don't know if Boris would let him talk to him, but I would find out, hey, what this is our game plan for you. We want to draft you number one and then see how the kid reacts to that. And then, if he doesn't want to be a Pirate, then you draft 1A. You get schemes,
You know, that's a good question, Frank, because in the NFL at the combine, these guys get a chance to talk a lot to some of these potential guys. They get in there, they learn about their families, learn about what their expectations are. I don't know if they do that so much here. I got to believe they do to some degree. It's not an official kind of get-together, but I'd like to know, too. If I'm going to put my value in him as the number one pick, I should talk to him and find out where his head is for sure. I don't know if that goes on in baseball as much, certainly as in football it does, but the agent thing does not bother me necessarily. People do want to run from Scott Boros. Listen, if the Pirates are in a situation where they believe he's the number one guy that they want, regardless of the price, and it is slotted, but you know what it's going to be, you just do it. And then you worry about that. You still control him. He doesn't. Boros can do whatever he wants to do, but if you're Dylan Cruz, what options do you have? Do you want to go back to LSU for another year? No, I don't think so. You want to get it moving, and you'll do what you got to do to get it moving. You know what I mean? All right, Frank, thank you. I guess we had a disconnection problem there. Appreciate your call, though, 412-928-9370. We've got some Matt Canada tweets as well as Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren, because I know Ray Fittipaldo is bullish on Warren if he gets a chance. You know, and I don't know if that he's going to get as big of a chance as maybe he would get if he were with a team that didn't have somebody like Najee Harris, who's a number one pick on it. We'll get into all that and more. All right, we're back with more. 412-928-9370. Our show brought to you by the good people of PNC Bank. Make today the day and check out PNC Bank. Number one Cochran. Shop 24/7 with Expressway at Cochran.com. I have more Twitter questions regarding the Steelers. And one of them's on Matt Canada. Why is he back? Jimmy says, why did they bring him back? Well, number one, I think last year was more an organizational edict to try to play a conservative type of football, which features no turnovers. And sometimes when you do that, I think you take the playbook out of the hands of the offensive coordinator. I think this year he has 1 year left on a contract. I think they're in a situation now where there are not going to be as many limitations on what he does. And I think you will see more on Kenny Pickett looking down the field as opposed to little dump offs or anything of that nature that you may have seen more of last year. It won't be as conservative. It should be risk taking from time to time, regardless of the risk. And we'll see if that happens. 412-928-9370. We're still waiting on word from the NHL if there are any significant moves so far. Apparently there is a trade. The Capitals are going to pick up Joel Edmondson from Montreal in exchange for a 3rd and a 7th round pick. So we'll see what that means. But so far, nothing on the Penguins. And the big three there of Tristan Jarry, Jason Zucker, and Brian Dumoulin. Brian Dumoulin most likely will not be around, although Mike Sullivan likes him. And I guess he'd be okay if you brought him back as a 5th or 6th defenseman. He certainly can. But he's lost a step for sure. He doesn't look like the same. And, man, he laid it on the line for a lot of years here. He was a really good Pittsburgh Penguin. But whether or not he has an opportunity to return here, I don't know, and especially depending on the cost. Zucker's the one that they made it sound like they really wanted to bring him back, but I don't know if that's even possible. Jason Zucker's going to get a lot of looks from around teams that are trying to win now. He can be a person for that, and certainly he's a big part of what they did last year. He gave them an edge that no one else really gave them. So while you'd like to retain him, the question is how do you do that given salary cap constraints? And remember, Granlund's still on the roster at this point. They chose not to buy him out. Joe in Bloomfield is our next caller right now on the Bob Pompeiani Show on now a rainy Saturday. What's up, Joe?
Yes. Hey, Bob. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks.
Just want to say I appreciate you, your old standard talk show that you take callers. I've tried to get through a number of times, haven't been able to, so this is the first time, and I don't even want to really talk about sports other than the fact of Pirates and the promotions. Last night they ran a promotion for a hat night, and it was first 20,000. And there were a lot of children, including my grandchildren, that's why I'm taking it to heart, that went home without a hat because they weren't amongst those first 20,000. Now you do the math, those hats probably cost $5. Get an additional 15,000 hats, cost the Pirates $75,000. They ensure everyone gets a hat. Everyone goes home happy. If you have some hats left over, you donate them to charity, and even that's a win-win. This organization, and I'm sure there's probably others that do the same, So I'm picking on the Pirates only because it hit home last night. But just something as simple as that. And I'm told, well, they want to get those 20,000 in early because then they go and they buy concessions. You're going to sell your concessions.
Well, John, listen, I appreciate the fact that you're taking your grandkids there and you don't want them to be disappointed. I often did wonder about that. Like when they say the first 20,000, how do you gauge that? Like if you're in line and you think you're among the first 20,000, but you're not, you just get shut out. So I understand that. I hope someone's listening. If not, I'll certainly bring it to their attention and see if there's a way around that. But you know, they say what it is. It's the first 20,000. If they run out of 20, so I wonder, is this, so this hat goes to adults and kids? It doesn't matter who, just 20,000 people. I originally thought it was for kids. I didn't know it was just for anyone.
No, I believe it was for everyone last evening. And I go back quite a long time, years. My father worked at the ballpark for 50 years. And I go back, I'm 65, to old bat day at Forge Field, where everyone that went in there got a wooden bat in those days or a hat, whatever it was. There was no limits as to how many. You gave the first 10,000 or 15,000. And I'm just a little disappointed in that. That's all.
Well, duly noted. Appreciate it. Thanks for the call. Duly noted there. You know, I don't know how that stuff works. That's why the best promotion you can have, Nicholas Callis, is to win. When people go just because they want to watch a winning team, that then you don't have to necessarily spend a ton of money on other things. Although I get it why people want to go.
Yeah, but yeah, if you're spending the money on the ticket, I'm not too concerned about a hat. I know the children might be upset, but you still get to experience baseball. That's why you paid for the ticket. The hat's just a bonus.
Well, unless you make the hat the principal reason you're going, and then you have to figure out when to get there so you're among the first 20,000. That's where it gets a little dicey.
I've personally never gone to the game for the promotional stuff, so maybe I'm just different.
Well, me neither. I mean, I'd rather see the game, and I'd rather see a good game. If I'm going to pay money, I want to be entertained that way. And last night, boy, you got your money's worth. I'll say that to our previous caller. Those people certainly had a chance to – oh, now I'm looking at the first furry – it's a McCutcheon furry.
Yeah.
Where did this come from? A furry dressed as McCutcheon.
Wow.
So McCutcheon tweeted out yesterday, furries,
mm-hmm.
just one word, and they got a whole bunch of play. And
I retweeted it.
So now there are McCutcheon furries. Oh, my. 412-928-9370.
Did you hear Doran Dickerson on the morning show got me? He said that he went to these conventions.
Now, you didn't really believe that, did you?
I did.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I feel like
if so, I wonder what it would have been.
He said he was going to go as a giraffe, and he sounded legit, and I trust Doran, and he broke my trust because he lied straight to my face.
By the way, in case you missed it last night, Ohtani did it again. The other night, he had two home runs and struck out 10 in the same game. Last night, he hit one almost 500 feet, so he now has 30 home runs. You talk about money and how much money this guy's going to make. 500 feet of a home run? You don't see that many times. Willie Stargell had a couple in Parc Jarry in Montreal. But, man, that's putting a charge into one. Also, according to Darren Drager, it looks like the Penguins may have Matt Nieto as a bottom six guy. Again, if you look at what they have available to them after the acquisition of Riley Smith, it's like $13 million, and they want to certainly improve their bottom six. Matt Nieto is a guy who can do that if this report is true, but again, it's early on. We'll see what the Penguins end up getting or not. Let's go to the phones, and we got Carol in Aspinwall. Carol, how are you today? Thank you for calling the show.
Oh, thank you, Bob. Appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
This is just a quick comment for the previous caller whose, I guess it was grandchildren, were disappointed at last night's game. They didn't get a hat. And I'm not defending the Pirates' policy, but I just wanted to add, I listen to Yankee broadcasts occasionally, and they give 18,000.
Yeah,
don't it's, tell
it's
me
it's
they
weird.
Don't have the money.
Well, they all can do that if they want to do it. But again, how many extras do you have to buy? You know, you're probably, it's some sort of mathematical formula. How many on a Friday night would come to watch this game? And listen, they won three in a row coming into it, now four in a row. I think that adds to a walk-up. They probably had a pretty big walk-up. So who knows? I don't know. I don't know how it all gets done. But, you know, if you're going for the promotion, then get there really early, I guess, is the only advice I can give you.
Yeah, that's the word to the wise.
All right. Thanks, Carol. Appreciate that. Our next destination is Plum. Rich joins us right now on the Bob Pompiani Show. Hey, Rich.
Hi, Bob. How you doing?
What's going on?
Listen, I was wondering, this is regarding the Steelers, if they would go after Reuben Foster. He has prior NFL experience, and they probably could get him for under $2 million at a linebacker, a quality linebacker.
I don't know. Why do you like him?
He played for San Francisco. He got into a jam, with his girlfriend. Nevertheless, he's a really great inside linebacker out of Alabama, and he can play. I think he would be an upgrade over some of the players that they have right now.
Well, they brought in a whole cast of characters to play inside, and I think they're probably going to trust them. And I think they really like Mark Robinson, so that's where, I don't know if they have another spot to bring him in.
I mean, I'm sure they're going to be making cuts. I mean, I was just – they were supposed to be going after Rashawn Evans, former Tennessee linebacker in the Falcons. This guy is just as good, though, Reuben Foster. I mean, he'll be playing in the championship game tonight for the Maulers. Number 10, I believe. He's really good, though. I mean, I'm just saying I believe we could get him really reasonable, too, man.
Hard to believe the Maulers are playing for a championship after last season and even some of this season. And here they are with
Ray
a chance.
He's turned things around. Unbelievable. And the offense is better. The defense is number one in the league. It might carry them to a championship. They played.
Yeah, that's Ray Horton doing his thing.
24-20. Yeah, 24-20. They lost, but their offense is a little shaky, but it's a little more stable now.
All right. Thanks very much, Rich, for that. As I look at these inside linebackers, Elandon Roberts, Cole Holcomb, Mark Robinson, those would be your top three at this point, I think, going into this, after they obviously let go of Devin Bush and they traded Spillane. And Miles Jack really just didn't get it done on a regular basis. They needed to see more from him. So they've been searching that position ever since the injury stage year, and they continue to do it at 412-928-9370. Pardon me for being distracted at times. I'm trying to keep up on what's going on here with some of this hockey maneuvering, and there's a whole bunch of stuff going on. It looks like Jonathan Quick is headed to the Rangers now. That's a goaltender that was available out there. The key thing here is, what are they going to do with Tristan Jarry, and how long will it take? And if he's actually looking in the market, it may take a while to get the kind of numbers. But according to TSN, it is a left winger, Matt Nieto, on a 2-year deal coming to Pittsburgh. So he played with the Colorado Avalanche, a good bottom six kind of guy. I wonder how much money that is. But the bottom line is, Kyle Dubas is doing what he has to do to improve this year's team without sacrificing too much for the future. Again, I think most of us who've talked about this say that's a tough thing to do, to keep one foot in the present, another foot in the future, and try to, satisfy both. But we will see how that goes. And whether or not Tristan Jarry in the next 40 minutes will be signing here or not. And I'm sure, and I say 40 minutes because then I go off the air and I won't be able to tell you that, but maybe we'll have some news here. In the meantime, 412-928-9370 is the number to call. You can call anytime. Hit me up on Twitter. It's at KDPOM. Join us tomorrow night for the number one Cochran Sports Showdown. It's on every Sunday night at 11:35. Thank you to our sponsors once again. PNC Bank, make today the day. And number one Cochran, ride in style. And shop 24/7 with Expressway at Cochran.com. 412-928-9370. Call that number. Let's talk right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Brought to you by PNC Bank, make today the day. Number one Cochran, shop 24/7 at Expressway, Cochran.com. And I want to remind you, Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Peters Township. Visit them online, southhillsjeep.com. Text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line, 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. We have the weather forecast coming up. It's not looking very good. Shelby Cassesi will be here after me. In the meantime, let's go back to the lines. We got Mark in Monongahela. What's up, Mark?
Hey, Bob. How you doing?
Good. What's going on today?
I have a solution for the giveaway problem. All they have to do is take maybe 500 of those hats and sell them at cost at the concession table where they sell stuff, baseball stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody was disappointed and the kid didn't get a hat, they could go over, and it's $5, they could get a hat. That would solve the problem. Nobody would go without a hat.
No, some people would complain about that. It's a promotion. You expect it to be free, and now all of a sudden you got to pay. I didn't want this to get completely off the rails here. Someone called in and do it. This is something the Pirates have to address, not necessarily us here today, because I wouldn't have an answer for you. I don't know how to solve that.
But I don't know if you remember me or not. I was the security guard in Pittsburgh that I called you Bopo.
Oh, you were the one.
Yeah, it's a long time.
I got you, Mark. Appreciate it.
You're my favorite, and I really appreciate talking with you.
Thank you for the call, and thanks for the suggestion. Carol in Lawrence. What's up, Carol? How are you? Hey, Carol.
This is Carolyn from Mars.
All right, go. Go ahead.
Oh, hi. Love the show, Bob. Appreciate your work.
Thank you.
I just wanted to make another comment about the free giveaways. I went to the opener. I went to a couple games. And people actually circle these this weekend on their calendar, this Luau weekend. And I've been getting it's actually today, the Hawaiian shirt every year for years.
Mm-hmm.
And the one year I went years ago, it's always the Brewers. And I went at 2 o'clock and the game was at 4. They said you had to have been there at like 12:30. So people do show up for those. One thing to mention to the grandfather is, I got there, and it was a two-hour rain delay. I waited. But if you just ask the Brewers players, fans, they don't want those Pirate things. So I went home with 5 shirts. Just a tip to the people that...
well, you're gonna have a real big luau in your neighborhood. All right, Carolyn. Thanks, man.
Yeah,
appreciate it.
And then I know a couple of weeks ago, the Key Brian Hayes bobblehead, those fans, whatever team they were playing, they gave them to the kids. So if you just ask, people will give them away. But yeah, you do have to get there super early.
Get there early. That's the only advice I can give, and thank you for that. Appreciate it. Let's squeeze in Doug in Daytona Beach. We've covered the country today with all sorts of different destinations. Hey, Doug, what's up?
Not much, Bob. You know what? I'm sitting on my balcony waiting to talk to you, and they shot a rocket off down at Cape Canaveral. Now, that's the first for the Pompeiani show. How about that?
Yeah, it is.
Hey,
never before has a rocket launched on my show, but thank you for that.
Hey, I'm worried about you, Bob. That coup in ESPN, where they got rid of all the people making big bucks.
Mm-hmm.
I
don't make big bucks, so I don't have to worry about that.
They'll replace you with two women. Yeah, I know. That's the way they work. Look at poor Merle Hodge. That's what happened to him.
Well, I mean, they've been going through a lot. And thanks for the call, Doug. I appreciate you listening on your balcony. We're up against the clock here. So, I feel bad for a lot of those guys. Merle was one of them. And Susie Colborough I know pretty well, and I feel terrible for her. Jeff Van Gundy, who I thought was very good at what he did. But, corporate business is corporate business. They do what they got to do. It's a shame. But those who made a lot of money really got, I think, the short end of this. But very talented people. I'm not going to be surprised if they end up someplace and continue good careers. So I wish them all the best. I hate sometimes when corporate decisions have to be made like that. But the bottom line is, they're all very talented, and I think we'll fall on, come out on the bright side of this one. Real quick, one more before we go. That's Joe in Pittsburgh. Hey, Joe. Make it a good finish, Joe.
Hey, Bob. How are you?
I'm good. What's going on?
None. I'm on your boat with the kid from Ellis, the hitter. But also, the whole Skeens pick, I think you got to take a look at the fact, he doesn't go 5 days a week. He goes every other 7 days. So I don't think there's much about his arm right now. I think maybe down the road. But if he's what they say he is, it'd be nice to see him and Keller.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great 1-2 punch. And then you can make everybody else fall into 3-4-5. The importance of a starting pitcher cannot be underestimated. Look what Keller's done whenever they needed someone to end a streak of losing. And you make life a lot easier for your entire team, not to mention, if you can go 6 or 7 innings, you get right to the 8th and 9th, as opposed to going 4 innings or 5 innings, and then you're ruining your bullpen. So it's very important, but so is to having a 5-tool outfielder who can hit. And I think this is why I'm going to go with Cruz. I'm not going to switch. I get Skeens. If that's him, I hope he comes here and is a stud, but I still think Cruz can help them longer term.
I do, too. And one other thing, Bob, the whole thing, I can't agree more. I'm just Henry Davis behind the plate. I don't know why you drafted him if he's going to be a catcher.
Why?
Yeah, that's I want to at least see it. That's what I said, Joe. And thank you for the call. If you don't do that, then the point is he better bring a bat that is unlike many other bats in that organization. And hopefully he can do that. But if you do it at catcher, now you're one up on just a lot of teams in the league who don't have a power hitting catcher and have to employ guys who hit under 200 just to fill that that position. So that would be great. It creates more opportunity for others, and I think it makes your lineup better as well. That's going to do it for us. Shelby Cassessi is standing by. She will take you through the next couple of hours before the North Shore Tavern leadoff show. Are you on the CW tomorrow night?
Yes, I'll be there.
Good. I look forward to seeing you then tomorrow at 10:35.
Yes.
In the meantime, yeah, there is. And it's a busy day today. The Pirates are at 4 o'clock. Then you have the Riverhounds and Louisville FC. That's going to be a really good matchup at Highmark Stadium. And then, of course, all the stuff. Any other news on hockey that I may have missed? I saw that the Penguins did sign a bottom six guy. Anything else that I've missed?
Because no, it's hard to keep up with everything. Twitter is also down, which is really an
opportunity. Twitter is. Do you get the thing that says
rate limit?
Yeah, what is that?
I just Googled it. Apparently, it's a Twitter outage of some kind. So it doesn't mean anything other than Twitter's not coming through for us. The only other thing I saw about an hour ago was just a tweet that, and this is something we knew, that it looked like Dumoulin would not return to the Penguins, right, which was something we knew.
Yeah, we knew that for sure. What we don't know is how much money Tristan Jarry wants, although there is speculation that it's going to be probably more than what the Penguins want to give him. But, you know, we'll see. Freddie Anderson stays in Carolina, so that's one destination that cross off for Tristan Jarry. Jonathan Quick goes to the Rangers. You also have Cam Talbot moving to the Kings. So all these goalies are moving.
A couple of targets already gone, yeah.
Gone. So we'll see if that means the Penguins have to. And that's, Shelby, I don't know about you, but I have no problem bringing Tristan Jarry back. I think he has the ability to get things done. He hasn't shown it in critical situations, but there have been injuries too. I don't know if that's what happens. I think I'd be okay with it. I'm not okay with having the same two goalies, though. I would make a switch as a backup.
Given the situation with, I mean, truthfully now, who's left in free agency, even before today started, who was available in free agency, in many realms, Tristan Jarry is considered the top target. He is considered the number one goalie on the free agent market. And so I think he is that in my mind. I am ready to move on from him, but given what's available, I think he's the best choice depending on what you pay for him.
Mm-hmm.
Or you trade, but that's a double whammy for the Penguins too, because they're giving away someone or multiple people and they're paying that person. So I think you're right. I think you might have to just move forward and do this by committee. If Tristan Jarry is not going to be available the whole season, or you think he's going to be injury prone, it's got to be someone different in terms of the backup.
Yeah. All right. Shelby's coming up next. She'll take your calls at 412-928-9370. Yes. And we will see you tomorrow at 10:35. On Pittsburgh CW, we invite you to call us then, too, after a big week of activity to see what the Pirates can do with the Brewers. In the meantime, it's time for Fan Weather, which is brought to you by Sun Chevy. Summer is here. Check out the Trailblazer, the Equinox, and the all-new redesigned 2024 Trax online at sunchevy.com. So today, it's going to be rainy here and there. 30%? I think it's 100% here right now, so depending on where you are, it could be 30 or 100. It's going to be hot, though, in the 80s. Tomorrow, same thing, muggy in the 80s, and more of a chance of a thunderstorm in the afternoon. That's going to do it for us. Again, thank you to PNC Bank. Make today the day. Thank you to all our sponsors, number one, Cochran, Shendorovich, and Fishman, Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg, and Ireland Contracting, home of the nightly sports call. Shelby's up next. I'll see you again on Monday on Cook and Joe. Yeah, we're still on the day before the 4th of July, and I'm sure we're going to have a lot to talk about on that program as well. Thanks very much for Nick Callis. I see who's in there now.
Nate Hulushik.
Oh, Nate the Great is here. He'll be with Shelby, so call them at 412-928-9370. Have a great weekend, everyone, and we'll see you next Saturday.